More of Lake Effect Now on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Joy Powers. There have been astronomers in Wisconsin for a long time. There's the Yerkes Observatory near Lake Geneva. There are astronomy programs at places like UWM and UW-Madison, and even a private observatory up in the North Woods.
But our astronomy contributor, Gene Creighton, tells Lake Effect's Bonnie North that there were observers of the night sky well before there were PhD scientists here.
We were exploring indigenous voices, so there are at least six nations in Wisconsin who, of course, culturally had different ways of describing the sky, not only in terms of constellations, but also in terms of what they thought of the sun, the stars, the moon. And we had a collaboration with the Electa Quinney Institute where we could have students explore some of that information, the scientific and cultural information. So although, of course, I can't speak for them, I certainly got an education as the program progressed and as we unearthed more information. So for example, this time of year, I'm going to use two anchors because they're familiar, I think, to most people. So the Big Dipper, I often describe as a shopping cart with a long, curvy handle. The Big Dipper was seen as different things from the different nations. So the Big Dipper is often shown, and let's call it, I hate to say the word official, but it is the official designation of that patch of sky as Ursa Major, which is the Big Bear. And it's true that the Oneida people also see a bear there. And in fact, there's this beautiful story. The hunters are shooting at the bear, and the bear's tail is pointing to the earth. And that's when the blood hits the trees and the colors change. And that connects the position of the Big Dipper with the tail down to the fall.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I love when people find stories that explain what they see. But there's also the War Club of the Ho-Chunk people. And I will tell you the story of the Fisher, which is connected more to Ojibwe traditions. Are you ready for a story?
I am indeed. I'm always ready for a story.
Good. So honestly, I had not heard of the animal Fisher before I learned this story. It is a small mammal in the weasel family. It is a carnivore, and it has a long tail. So the story goes that a long, long time ago, when animals could still talk to each other and to people, and spring was just about ready to burst, and the buds were on the trees, and the grass was turning green, the animals noticed that there were no birds. They hadn't seen any birds. They hadn't heard any sign of them at all. And they were worried because they knew that birds were definitely a package that came with spring. And if birds aren't coming, then that's a problem. So they all discussed what are they going to do now that the birds have mysteriously disappeared. And they decided that they were going to leap up into the sky through the hole in the sky, which is also known as the Seven Sisters or the Pleiades. And they were going to climb up the cedar tree, jump through the hole and see where all the birds have gone. Well, then the animals were starting to argue who's going to do this. And the bear said, well, I'm obviously too heavy, too big. I couldn't do that without breaking the tree. Porcupine said, I'm too timid. So the Fisher, after many, many animals came and went explaining why they can't do it, the Fisher said, I will do it. I will climb up the cedar tree and leap into the sky and see where those birds are. So that's what he did. He went through the hole and he saw that all the birds were captives of the angry cloud spirits. They'd all been taken away. So he thought and thought, this Fisher, and realized that he has this long tail. What he's going to do is he's going to whip it around fast, fast, and dissipate some of the cloud spirits, and they will lose their grasp on the birds, and the birds will be able to fly through the hole back to the animals. And indeed, all those birds were coming through and all the animals were cheering back on Earth. And just when the last bird was about to fly through the hole and Fisher was about to fly after it, the angry spirits threw an arrow at his tail and ruined his aerodynamic scheme. And instead of jumping back onto the cedar tree, he actually leapt to the ground and died. All the animals were very upset, as you can imagine, that this brave animal finished his life so tragically. And they went to the creator and said, oh, we'll need to do something to honor this precious animal. So creator went to the ground and picked up some stones and tossed them into the sky, made the pattern of the fisher. And that's how we honor brave Fisher, who brought back all the birds to celebrate spring.
And so what do we call Fisher?
Big Dipper.
That's the Big Dipper.
Yeah, or I should
the
say...
The table. Yeah,
I mean, it's actually the... It is, in fact, the bear, right? So mm-hmm. The Big Dipper is part of the bear. And whereas we see a bear, if you will, it's very similar with the Fisher, only it explains more naturally why it has a long tail. In the bear situation, we see that it has a long tail because the bear was put up in the sky and his tail got yanked out of shape. This, of course, is a reminder that a lot of these patterns require imagination and there is no profound reason to see one over the other. I think we can celebrate the richness of the different traditions because ultimately they do tell us how people looked up, connected to the sky, tried to explain what they can, and connect their traditions with what they see in the sky.
Yeah, it's something that's very human, mm-hmm. our need to do that wherever we are and whatever traditions we come from. When you were doing the programs, what did you find to be the thing that was most different between the way the First Nations and the tribes described what they saw and the way Greeks and Romans and Europeans described what they saw?
Honestly, I was more struck about the similarities rather than the differences. So, for example, I believe it was the Oneida had different cool connotations with planets and hot connotations with stars. The moon, they also classified as cool, to separate things that make their own light, like stars, from things that just reflect light. So they had an understanding that those two things, even though they look bright in the sky, are different in nature. And, I mean, I think that's pretty impressive. I also really liked one of the terms in Ojibwe. So the Ojibwe language is part of the Algonquin family of languages. So there's similarities among those languages, Potawatomi, Menominee, Ojibwe. These are similar, belong, I should say, in the same language family. So they were describing the Milky Way, among other things, as a string of stars. And if you consider that our galaxy is a spiral galaxy, that is such an evocative image. Even though presumably they had no way of knowing that that's what our galaxy looks like from the outside. The fact that they have that reference, I think, is pretty mind-boggling, actually. Now, one of the patterns, if you will, that are different are the twins. So Gemini, I honestly think it looks, now it could be that I have my background and that's why I think it really does look like two people standing side by side, but I know from the planetarium that it's a reasonably easy sell. There are two bright stars that are very similar in brightness and they seem to be at the top of two stick figures. But the Potawatomi there see a beaver. So the two stars on the top are his ears. The star kind of in the middle is his nose. What we would call the arms, because they're holding arms at the shoulder, are his whiskers. The rest of the legs are his body, and there's a bit of a tail coming out. And again, you can see how people who live in the Great Lakes region need, of course, a bear in the sky, but they also need a beaver in the sky.
Absolutely. And we kind of make the pattern of what we in some ways need to see.
That's right. What really connects to what we do and who we are and what is surrounding us.
I'm sorry that we can't go see it again.
Well, I'm hoping that, you know, we'll work again together and have another, you know, exploration of this fascinating topic.
Well, I am looking forward to having great conversations over the summer, Jean. And in the meantime, congratulations on the end of another semester, and we'll talk to you next month.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Jean Creighton directs the Manfred Olson Planetarium at UW-Milwaukee, and she's our regular astronomy contributor. She talked with Bonnie North, and you can listen back to all of their conversations at WUWM.com.